So there we go. It's heading to our last hour. The questions will not stop for Bob Chapman. And we'll pick it up on that very same question about, is the only way out of this revolution? I don't know about that. We'll find out what Bob Chapman thinks, and then also what you think and your questions and your comments about your both your personal economy and our national one from the Trend Watcher, who is predicting things are going to get a lot worse yet still, including the near dissolving of the dollar, coming up on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. So heading into the last hour, let's first address the question that we had left at the top of the hour. Will this come down to armed revolution, Bob Chapman?
Now, it's a possibility. I think the key is the resurrection of the economy, and I don't think that's going to happen. The second key is a response by Congress. The Congress starting to listen to the people rather than their corporate sponsors. And the parties make no difference. It has nothing to do with that. And if we are able to get some response in a positive way toward constituents, it might save us from revolution. A good example is H.R. 1207, which is Ron Paul's recent legislation for the Federal Reserve being audited and investigated. And it has some 276 co-sponsors, which is very, very large amount of House members, and it's being buttoned up in the committee by Barney Frank and Nancy Pelosi, and that's the kind of thing that is enraging people. And they've got to let that out of committee and let it go for a vote. Obviously, it's going to get passed, and whether the Senate will do so or not remains to be seen. But this is the kind of populism that's arising because of unemployment, because of the state of the economy, not to go into detail.
Right,
and
right.
So I think the key lies with the House and the Senate. And if they do not react to the people, then that possibility to a revolution exists.
You know, I guess the possibility of revolution always exists, Bob, so I'm not sure that that's I mean, you can always say that it's always floats out there to some degree, 2%, 5%, 8%, whatever. I would argue against revolution, and I will tell you why. I think if it were to happen, it would be most likely to happen in urban centers where people don't own their homes. But I think that part of the way our economy is structured is for all of us homeowners to be heavily invested in our property's value. And nothing kills property value faster than a revolution. And I think there's a lot of people who have a lot of retirement plans based on being able to sell their house. And I just don't see them tossing that all aside and saying, no, let's spend the rest of our life broke.
Well, I think that it certainly would be a last resort for everyone. I mean, nobody wants to engage in violence. But, you know, when you have an economy where 20.5% of the people are unemployed,
right.
and I think my projection at the beginning of the year was 22%, and I'm going to be close for the year. And I think next year, even though we have a stimulus package, it could be 25%, much less in gain than previously because of the stimulus package. And I also predicted that this later this year, early next year, there would be more legislation for another $2 trillion stimulus package. And so that might prolong some of the problems, but it's not a solution. The system has got to be purged, and there's no way around it.
All right. That's why you're the international forecaster, and I'm not. You're talking to Bob Chapman, Monica, in Washington. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, gentlemen. Great show. Back to the precious metals. In your view, are ETFs a good way to buy?
No, I don't think that they are in gold.
I don't know what that is. What does that mean?
Those are exchange-traded funds, which trade on the New York Stock Exchange. They are similar to mutual funds for gold and for silver, but they're not, and sort of a hybrid. And it's my suspicion, number one, that the ETFs, gold and silver, were created to drain off investable funds by professionals who didn't want to take delivery of bullion. And what has happened is that these two entities are lending gold and silver to the United States government, which in turn is manipulating those two markets and many other markets besides, mind you. And also, I don't think that they have the gold and silver that they say that they have. In fact, it's almost impossible that they could have what they say that they have in physical bullion. And that is a major problem, because if people start taking delivery, like a fund did just recently, that had invested with GLD, they took delivery of $400 million worth of gold. If others continue to do that, we're talking about professionals, and all the gold isn't there, there's a major problem that's going to arise. And there's no independent audit on either of them from the outside. And so I will not recommend them. I recommend the gold and silver shares and the coins and bullion, but I will not recommend ETFs.
All right. Simone is in Illinois on Coast to Coast AM for Bob Chapman. Simone?
Hey, pleasure to be on. Regarding President Obama and the bailouts, when he first got elected, the first thing he did, I noticed, was these trillion-dollar bailouts to these people that Bob is talking about, like bankers. As far as I'm concerned, they're all Bernard Madoffs. You know, there's not one Bernard Madoff. There's a million Bernard Madoffs out there. And Obama, you know, bailed many of them out. And this was... Well, it made me say this is trickle-down economics. I said trickle-down economics is a term that's been around for a long time, and Obama is employing it, and I was surprised because in your opinion or your knowledge, is Obama that naive that, you know, he doesn't know about trickle-down economics already?
Okay. Let's get an answer to that, Simone. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, first of all, Mr. Obama does not have any background in economics or finance at all. So Mr. Obama, just like Mr. Bush, is not making any of those decisions. They're being made by the appointees, and all that happened in the seamless change from one presidency to another, from one party to another, was the Team A came in for Team B.
Right.
It's the same old players that are behind the scenes who professionally are attached to one party or the other, all with the same background, the same mental nomenclature that slide in, and you're not getting any change at all. You're getting a group of people who are all doing the same thing. And so Mr. Obama isn't doing anything, and neither did Mr. Bush. They just stand by while the professionals do what they do.
You know what? Interesting point, though. And you hear her, like I think a lot of people, so convinced that somehow this started on day one of Barack Obama's administration. And that obviously it was a trend that was started. It was a reaction that started underneath President Bush. The whole bailout thing was a total Bush deal. And so that's kind of odd. I mean, but I think some people have successfully spun that to make it seem like it just started under Barack Obama. But it's been going on forever.
But, you know, you're right. Absolutely right. I mean, as I said earlier in the program, you can go back to before the 20th century and look at the influence that J.P. Morgan and all of the people around Morgan had on the United States government.
Right.
And so it's nothing new, and you're absolutely right.
Andy is in Los Angeles on Coast to Coast for Bob Chapman. Andy?
Yes. I was going to ask the question about internal unrest, but I guess that answer came earlier by Mr. Chapman. But I have a quick comment and a question. You know, faith and trust are a heck of a thing. You know, faith can move mountains and can turn people's lives around. But when that faith has turned to what it is presently, distrust, it is a situation now where people are scared. There was a recent survey in which the majority of people are now not concerned, they're scared. Now, my question to you is this. We were coming out of a depression, the 20s depression, and then the next thing you know, World War II popped up. Now, I would like to ask Mr. Chapman, in his opinion, does he believe that with all the gimmicks and tricks and games that are being played and how the American people are being played like sheep, and the contempt that they have for us because they think we're basically stupid, and it's true, many people are.
Okay.
But a lot of people are watching. Does he believe that a war will be used as an instrument to gain control and to galvanize the American people? Because it looks to me like
Andy, this is turning into the world's longest question. I think you hit it earlier. Let's give a chance to answer. Go ahead.
Well, very quickly, I was in counterintelligence, and one of the first things I found out was that we had broken the Japanese diplomatic code in 1937, and we knew everything that they were doing, and we wanted to get into war because we were not getting out of a depression. And that's how all these wars start. And yes, I predicted 9/11 almost a year before it happened, not the actual event itself, but an event. Second of all, I predicted that would lead to the invasion and war in Iraq and Afghanistan. And the answer to the gentleman's question is very definitely yes. If you look at history, you will find when nations are in economic and financial trouble, they have a war. And you can take that to the bank if the bank is still there.
All right. But I want to go back to your 9/11 statement. You said you predicted 9/11. What do you mean by that?
I predicted that government or people behind government would create an event which would be used to get America into war.
Okay, that would put you in the movement of those people who say that the Bush administration did this to us?
Well, I don't know that it was the Bush administration per se. There are people who plan these things, the RAND Corporation and many other think tanks, not only in the United States, but throughout the world. And what they do is diabolical, and it's very difficult for the average decent human mind to contemplate that people can be so evil. But yes, I believe that it was planned. I think the administration knew about it. I think other people knew about it as well. There's so many questions. I am not an expert on the subject. I just believe there would have been an event, and 9/11 happened to be that event.
Well, I'll go with you halfway on that. I'll say that I think the governments look for, administrations look for opportunities, and they can hope for something like that in their own darkest self-interest. I'm just not willing to take the blame off the terrorists, period. I'm just not willing to say that somehow only we could have done this to us. I think we have ample evidence that there's lots of people who are really good at doing, you know, those types of mass murders. And I think we, as a country, I think we've learned a lot since then. I think the fact that we're going to make a reasonable effort on stopping somebody else from doing that again speaks to the fact that somebody else had actually successfully done it. But let's get to Greg in Florida on Coast to Coast, first time caller line. Greg?
Yeah, hi, Ian. Thanks for taking my call. Bob, not to discount your comment on the 9/11 idea. Anyone, all they have to do is look to the Northwoods conspiracy. But that aside, my question is, I hold physical gold, not the ETF. I hold physical gold. And my question is, first off, is there a possibility that we could be headed to a world money, a world monetary idea? And also the Amero has been brought up. Pardon me. The Amero has been brought up several times. But by way of that question, there was a news story through international news out of Italy about a month and a half ago that there were two Japanese businessmen that were captured at the border of
Italy. Spoke about this earlier, Greg. Yeah, we actually talked about this. One of our first questions.
But we didn't address his earlier question and the question of the gentleman
right.
who called before. The Amero, North American Union, is what is trying to be created. It has been unsuccessful thus far. The Amero was to be the currency for Mexico, the United States, and Canada were that union to be formed. The union is a long ways away. The public got wind of it. They stopped it in its tracks. Behind the scenes, there is still harmonization going on between the nations, trying to set up for that event in the future. Whether they'll be successful or not, I don't know. Getting to the international currency thing, it's a dream of people who want world government to have one currency and also to have one central bank and one army and one this and one that. Now, I don't believe it's going to happen, but the U.S. currency, the dollar, is a reserve currency of the world and has been since 1948 under the Bretton Woods Agreement. And it's going to have to be replaced. And quite frankly, the people who are behind the scenes in America on Wall Street and banking have taken the situation so far that the dollar is really irretrievable as a reserve currency. So what is the answer? For trading purposes only, you can still have your internal currencies, but I do think they're going to have an international settlement trading currency, 20 major currencies banded together with a gold backing, which will be used in international finance. And as that happens, the importance of the U.S. dollar as a reserve currency will wane, because it'll no longer be the petrodollar. It'll be a combination of other currencies to be paid. And that currency, that unit, will change in value every second, 24 hours a day. So it'll be a free-floating currency, and that's what they're going to have to go to.
All right. Jesse, I don't have a name again on the East or the Rockies line. Okay. Brian in Denver on Coast to Coast AM. Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I guess the question that I have is a little bit more, I guess, theoretical or abstract. But as I've heard this issue discussed, you know, regarding gold and other precious metals and their value, aren't they entirely, or isn't the value of them in and of themselves entirely psychological or almost entirely psychological?
No, the value of gold and silver are based upon supply and demand, but they're also based upon the fitness of the rest of the currencies in the world. For the last 5 years, all of the currencies in the world have gone down versus gold. And the reason why is that for 6,000 years, people have used gold as a currency. And so when currencies are devaluing against each other and continue to degenerate in value because they print more money than they should, to make it simple, then what happens is people say, gee, my currency, the whatchamacallit, it keeps on going down, so I'm going to spend some of my money on gold. It's not theoretical. It's not esoteric. It's ground-based reaction to falling currencies.
Okay, but what if they found a big, massive underground cave full of, you know, unmined gold? Would that not drop the price of gold? If it really is supply and demand, and suddenly there's this huge supply of it, it can only help the price to go down, right?
You are absolutely correct, but that has never happened. And gold is not easy to find, not easy to extract, and it's expensive. And the mining industry is extremely financially intensive. So the chances of that happening are very small. In fact, over the last several years, production has fallen, and it's going to continue to fall for lack of exploration. And so the fresh gold coming to market that's been produced is going to continue to fall and the amount that's going to be available.
All righty. We'll come back last round of questions and comments for Bob Chapman, international forecaster, next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Now, coming up for the rest of this hour, you've heard the numbers. You'll join Bob Chapman here, international forecaster. He's looking ahead. He's trying to figure out exactly where the economy is going, how to zig just before the economy zags, and what he can do to help you next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. On to Memphis, where Brad is standing by on Coast to Coast AM for Bob, the international forecaster, Chapman. Go ahead, Brad.
Yes, hi. I had a couple questions on Japan and then another question for Mr. Punnett. Firstly, what's your take on the election coming up on August 30th and the possibility of the opposition winning, and your general forecast for Japan in the next couple years and the rising yen and so forth? And the second question, I'll hang up and answer, is do you think that the promotion of gold by Coast to Coast, it, like, presents a conflict of interest for talking about gold so much.
Don't hang up on that. And I think it's a tough spot to be in because you're not hearing me talk about it. I'm not taking a position on gold. I don't have a dog in that fight. It is Bob Chapman's opinion that that's the way to go. And then you're right. I mean, we do that, and then we run to a commercial break, and then you hear somebody on talking about gold. So I could certainly understand why you would think that way, but I don't know any other way to do it. What would you suggest, Brad?
I'm not sure. That second question just kind of came to me because I just hear gold promoted so much,
right.
And then you're talking about gold so much. So I was like, just thinking if it was, you know, some kind of, like if you would ever have a guest on that would say, don't buy gold, you know what I'm
right.
saying? But I just sort of came to me as a second.
No, I think
I really wanted to hear
take
was on the Japanese election.
Well, I will get to that answer, but I do think it's a fair question to ask is do we have a conflict of interest? Bottom line is I didn't know what the guest was going to say, so I am unconflicted about that. Bob, now on your website, are you selling gold on your website?
I don't sell gold. I don't sell anything. I don't receive any money from anybody with the exception of the subscribers.
Okay.
And I do recommend securities. I recommend brokers, both in gold and silver, as well as in regular stocks. And I never receive any compensation from them.
All right, there you go. There's your answer for that, Brad. Now, what about the Japanese election?
It's a driven snow, as you might say, when it comes to that.
Purest 24-karat gold. Well, so what's your take on the upcoming Japanese elections?
I think there's a good chance that there'll be a party change. But I don't think it makes an awful lot of difference. It is my take, after having studied deeply the events before and after the Second World War, that an agreement was made between the United States and Japan, and that we won't go out and have war crime trials with the exception of hanging Tojo, and we have to have one person sacrificed. And you'll do what we tell you to do in the future, and we'll protect you. And so the control of both political parties in Japan from behind the scenes has been the United States government and, in great part, the Central Intelligence Agency.
Okay. Very good. Let's get to, Laura Ann is next in Farmingdale, New York, on Coast to Coast AM for Bob Chapman. Laura Ann?
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. First, any attempt at revolution could really, really easily just become a civil war between the haves and the have-nots. But what I wanted to talk about and ask you about is, do you know what happened on the morning of September 11th, 2008? There was supposedly an unprecedented electronic run on the U.S. banking system, where over $550 billion was withdrawn within like an hour or two before they were able to stop it.
Huh.
And
Where did you hear that?
Well, if you look, there's a C-SPAN interview with Paul Kanjorski, who's Pennsylvania congressperson. Let's see, he's a chairman of the House Financial Services Subcommittee on Capital Markets.
Right.
In this interview, he said that Bernanke and Paulson both briefed him and told him that that is what triggered the banking collapse. And, you know, that should be on the front page of the paper every morning for the last 6 months. But
right.
who's heard about it?
All right.
And I was wondering if you have any information
sure.
about that. And, you know, you could speculate as to, you know, who could
right.
have, you know, we all say China.
Sure.
But could have been, you know, Carlyle Group with other people together.
Okay.
Or, you know,
all right. Let's see what
that.
He says. Go ahead, Bob.
I don't know who caused it. I do know it happened. And I think anything untoward that the Treasury and the Federal Reserve is going to try to cover up as much as possible because they don't want people to think that their system is vulnerable, and it is. But it's no excuse for the recession, depression that we've entered into. It's an event that probably complicated it. And who knows whether it wasn't a government intervention to remove $550 billion and give it to the European Central Bank or something like that. We just don't know. There's so many things that we have to back into, and that one's very difficult because they just shut off the information.
I want to know more about that. Bill is in Deer Park, Washington, on Coast to Coast for Bob. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, my question has to do with foreign currency exchange. 2 weeks ago or so, George had a guest on, Andre Agassar, and he said that like 98% of all U.S. dollars are traded outside the United States. So that is telling me that the whole world is riding on our back, the U.S. dollar. We're driving the whole world economy. So I want to know who or what entity this World Currency Exchange Commission is. Are they part of the U.N., the World Bank, or what?
All right.
Well, the World Currency Exchange would be a privately operated entity. As far as the trading in dollars, yes, that percentage may be traded outside the United States. I do know that about 65% of all the physical U.S. dollars in one form or another in different denominations are held by foreigners, and a lot less are held in certain areas than were before. Like, there used to be a great deal held in Russia, and now most of them have been changed for rubles or other currencies. The foreign exchange market trades over $3 trillion a day. And I'm rather surprised that the dollar is held up as long as it has. And we saw deleveraging over the past year and a half where professional entities had borrowed money to participate in gambling in the markets.
Right.
And they had to reduce it because the banks cut back on what they could do, and that made the dollar artificially go up. Now, there's still leverage out there, lots of it, but the dollar is starting to come down, and it's going to continue to do so.
John is in Glendale, California, on Coast to Coast AM for Bob, the international forecaster, Chapman.
I just had a couple of comments, Ian, and people tend to forget that the revolution this country was based on was actually against economic oppression, against the bankers and economic interests that control the crown in England.
Right.
And they forget that. They also tend to neglect that when Samson brought down the temple against the Philistines, that most of those Philistines were merchant princes that were oppressing Israel economically.
Well, I get that connection that you're making there. I think almost all wars in one form or another are about money. I think you're right. You had a question for Bob Chapman?
Does he foresee any further changes in the bankruptcy in which they kind of circumvent the constitutional rules we have against putting people in prison for debt?
Okay.
It could come to that, but I don't think so. And some of the safety valves that are being used is the resettlement of debt, and you hear the ads on the different programs all the time for that. And but I think that debt in general is not going to get worse. I think the situation is going to get better, but it's so overwhelming that there's going to be an awful lot of damage done for a long time, particularly in the United States, because of the leverage used by individuals as well as companies and government. And
that's
so
right.
It's going to be an ongoing thing.
I want to try and get about four callers in, so I'm just going to ask everybody to keep their questions short, and we'll keep our answers short, and we see if we can get the four people that have been hanging on the longest in before the top of the hour for Bob Chapman, the international forecaster. Michael?
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
I believe, and you can comment on this, that we're in a severe recession. Government actions have been feeble and symbolic at best, and I think we're reaching a point where we're moving from too big to fall to too big to resolve, where insurance companies, Wall Street, banking interest, oil companies are absorbing our economy itself at the detriment of taxpayers, and they're throwing everything at the kitchen sink to these interests, And you can see it in the healthcare debate, you know, where they're spending millions a day to fight any kind of a change that, you know, 14,000 people lose in their healthcare daily. And isn't that what's happening? Is multinational conglomerates are just absorbing our economy itself?
I think that's a fair statement, and I think it will continue, and it's going to get more and more difficult as we go along. I think some of the problems with large corporations, particularly in the financial area, will be shrouded by the enormous money and credit that's being created, and, you know, the independent investigator came out the other day and said Treasury and Fed are on the hook for $23.7 trillion. I mean, anybody that thinks that that's not going to cause inflation is missing the boat. But ultimately what will happen is hyperinflation will end once it begins, and it will begin soon. Once it stops, we go into deflation. What they should have done in the first place is going to happen, and it's going to be worse.
All right, and that brings us to another Brad in Syracuse on Coast to Coast.
Morning, Brad. Ian. Morning, Mr. Morning. Chapman. Very important show. I appreciate it. My question to you, sir, is I have some Roth IRAs, which is a vehicle that's a non-taxable event when you go to cash them in. I'm just wondering, do you think the government will ever change that rule? Because I got like three, and my wife has three, and I was wondering, I have an opportunity to cash them in now. Do you think I should do that? I have other investments too.
All right.
And then what should I buy?
Well, yes, if you're over 59 and a half, I would definitely contemplate it, and I would space it year to year, and I would take the proceeds and go into gold and silver related assets.
And let's see, we have Bill in Tucson, Arizona, first time caller line on Coast to Coast AM. Bill?
I am so honored to be with you. This is the first time I've ever reached you.
Well, good.
Here's my situation. I'm with a company called Baird. They're a very big investment firm.
Right.
I have $300,000 worth of gold Canadian maple leaves.
Yeah.
They are in New York City. I am in Tucson, Arizona.
Yeah.
Am I in a big bind trouble having it that way, or should I do it a different way?
Okay.
To get possession of my gold.
All right, let's ask Bob. Go ahead, Bob.
Is the gold in an IRA or a retirement plan?
Hold on a second. I got to get Bill back up again. IRA or retirement plan, Bill?
IRA, sir.
Okay.
Are you over 59 and a half?
I am 59.
In 6 months, take delivery of your coins, pay the taxes. You're going to have to pay them someday if, in fact, you're in a winning position, and take delivery.
Okay.
And then put it where?
In a safe in your home.
And don't forget the combination, which is what I did with a safe in my home. We put a safe in, and we all forgot the combination. And
you blame it on your wife is what you do.
Well, yeah, but she beat me to the punch. It was my fault before I could say tag, you're it. She got me. Let me get to Jason in Colorado Springs, probably second to last caller. Go ahead, Jason.
Good morning. Thank you, gentlemen, for taking my call. Real quick, in relance to the Japanese billionaire smugglers, right before Bush left office, he signed into order over like 360 some odd billion to be generated. And I remember Katie Couric reported like a week later that they lost half of that money. And ironically, it comes to be like the same total number that the Japanese people got caught smuggling. So many months later, and I was wondering if you knew anything on that, or if anybody had caught that or heard anything about it.
Well, I hadn't, but that is very strange, Bob.
I did, and I never heard any more about it, and I don't know that there was a connection, but it seems strange that it would happen at the same time. So the answer is there probably is a connection, but we'll never know because they're not going to let the information out.
Well, I mean, I knew that there was the story with the Japanese businessman, but I didn't know it matched the amount of the missing funds from someplace else.
That's right.
That's a good thing to know. Richards,
well, also, when Congress asked the head of the Federal Reserve what happened to $2 trillion, and he said, I don't know.
Right, yeah.
I mean, you got to be kidding me.
Richards in Northern California on Coast to Coast. Richard?
Hi, Ian. I want to thank you very much for having me on tonight. And I want to thank Bob and Judy for the hard work they put into the International Forecaster. I tell you, I've been following Bob's newsletter since 1995, and I'm telling you, it is one of the most.
How rich are you now? After following all of Bob's advice?
Well, let me put it to you this way. I'm not any poorer than I was when I first started getting it, but I'm not going to be caught with my pants down. How's that?
Okay. All right. Well, fair enough.
Bob, thank you very much. It's an honor and a privilege, and I just want to say this. This newsletter that you put out, the what you charge for that, it does not do it justice. What an honor it is to have your newsletter. Thank you for that. My question is this: how soon are we close to receiving news and implementation of the AMERO, the North American Union?
Oh, we've already hit that a couple of times, so I'm sorry you missed the previous.
Yeah, I apologize about that.
That's all right. That's all right. But
we're not close.
And we're not close.
We can leave it at that.
Leave it right there. So this leaves it up to me, and thank you everybody who I'm stranding or other people that try to get through at the very end. For Bob Chapman, the International Forecaster. We'll leave it here, but what would you say we should be looking for? I got about 30 seconds. What do you think we should be looking for next? What's the next sign that you want to predict that we could keep an eye on and then give you a buzz back on when it happens?
Dollar is coming down, and it's going to be a semi-crisis proportions. It'll be a beta event for what's going to happen in the future. It could end up this fall in a bank holiday for a short period of time. And I think that sideways on the economy next year, the government numbers, the lies are so preposterous that even the economists who have gone along with the program are saying, we can't do this anymore. And so you're going to see the government being told, you got to stop it. You got to give us the truth.
All right. We'll be watching for that. Thank you so much, Bob Chapman. I always like the truth on this show, and good way to end. I hope you make it a great weekend that you have in front of you. And until next week, when I'll be on doing the double duty that George is doing tomorrow night on Coast to Coast AM, Deus te amat, and I do too.